Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to get you ready for betting the PGA Championship is Ryan Noonan, sports betting manager at BetSports Golf. You can follow him on Twitter at RYNoonan. Ryan, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me, Rob. I appreciate this. I love being able to talk major golf with you. I love this time of year. I think we've had some success in the past, and I hope we continue to parlay that here with the PGA. It's
going to be a good yes, indeed. And I know, looking back at the Masters, one of the players that both you and I both liked was our boy Will Zalatoris, and he's someone I am going to continue to go down the well of him and top 10 Tony Finau didn't exactly work out last time, but there's certain auto bets that I continue to make, and that is certainly one of them. And we're going to run this back. So what we're going to do in this is get everyone ready for the PGA Championship, because we have a very top heavy field. But before we get to that, there's one little thing I want to talk about in the world of the NBA. Last week, I had Jason Logan on the podcast, and at the time, we had some 3-2 series. That's where things stood. And the Suns had a 3-2 lead, and the Bucks had a 3-2 lead in their series. At that time, the Mavericks were plus 5,000 to win the title, and the Celtics were plus 850 to win the title. Both of those teams end up winning two in a row, winning those series. Those markets are now, the Celtics are the second favorite to win the title at plus 190. The Mavericks are sitting there at plus 550. And what is the lesson in all of this? So often we talk about how the futures market, we don't like getting our money tied up, and the hold percentage is there for the book, and it's something that we don't recommend people do. However, there are great hedging opportunities or money-making opportunities in the futures market. Of course, we're not Miss Cleo and can figure out when these 3-2 series are going to shift. But I did want to point out the opportunities that present themselves. And oh, by the way, Ryan, you're a Celtics fan.
Yeah, I mean, bias aside, Rob, I do think that there's an interesting way to approach the East in particular, where there is, well, I think both series have a clear advantage, right? The Warriors have had a nice rest advantage in comparison to the Mavericks, who have had to grind out the seven games. Same thing with the Heat. The Heat have been off a little bit, where the Celtics really had to use everything to get to this spot. So I do think that in the East in particular, as someone who's wanting to back the Celtics in this series, I think that waiting after tonight, whereas I do think that there's a pretty good advantage for the Heat. The Heat really, I think, would have to get this one if they have any shot to win the series. They have the advantage. They have the home court. So I do think someone similar to myself who is looking to get some money down on the Celtics to win this series, I'm going to wait a little bit. Even though I think they might be down one game, I'm going to get a better number. Instead of playing it pre-series where I do think the Heat have the edge tonight, I'm going to take my chances and see if I can get a better number if the Celtics happen to lose game one tonight.
I absolutely love that mindset. Right now, Celtics favored minus 185 in this series, Heat plus 155. So if you say, listen, Celtics coming off emotional win, they've got more rest for the Heat, boom, that series price will probably be closer to even money and much better if you want to get on the Celtics. But we didn't come here to talk NBA, just presenting some opportunities for us for the way that our mindset works. And let's get into the PGA Championship. And our reigning PGA champion is Phil Mickelson, who last year won an epic battle at the age of 50 years old. And unfortunately, Phil is not here with us. And to me, it is one of the, I don't know if sad is the word that I would use, but I would call unfortunate stories of golf, because Phil is always Tiger and Phil, and I always liked Tiger until I liked Phil. And then I really liked Phil, and then Phil likes gambling. And I'm like, I really like Phil now. Then all of a sudden, he has all this stuff about the Saudi League, and the brand of Phil is just like, I don't know what's going on. And it's a shame that the defending champ isn't there.
Could not agree more. It is unfortunate. I do think, and maybe this is a hot take, Rob, I do think his intentions were really good. This is someone who has been he's been a PGA pro for 30 years and has, I think, a vested interest. And you can make the argument that the PGA Tour has provided an opportunity. It's hard to argue. They provided an opportunity and now a lifestyle that's created, you know, generational wealth for Phil and his family. Again, his skill set put him in position to do that. I think his intentions, looking out for the players that come behind him, were pretty good. He said some things he probably shouldn't have said. And then again, I think getting into bed with this type of league, I think, is a little bit different. If there was something else that wasn't maybe tied to this type of money and how they've come to their money, it maybe is a different scenario. But I think putting it out there with really good intentions, and I think he thought that too. He thought he was maybe being, you know, an arbiter of truth and really trying to be a trailblazer for the guys behind him. And I think that there was some of that got lost in some of the ways that he delivered it. So it is unfortunate. It is sad. I mean, it's really rare for it to not be a non-injury related, you know, no showing to an event like this. So there are some reports that his game isn't really in form either. I don't know what to make of that. He's probably playing on some easy munis. He probably could figure it out, but it is sad. I hope we see him sooner than later. He's just good for the game.
Yeah, so here's some things that we need to know about this PGA. It's at Southern Hills, first time since 2007. The winner that year, Tiger Woods. And this is a course that is a second shot course. So iron play is important, but at the same time, you're going to hear length is important. Welcome to professional golf. Everything's important. Small greens, fast greens, long courses. There's like a par five that's 600 yards. So pretty much you need to be great at everything, just like you do in all the Masters. And let's start with Tiger Woods, Ryan, because he's actually in the featured group with Rory and Jordan Spieth. And for me, looking at Tiger Woods, who seems to only be playing the majors, he's minus 110 for a top 40, plus 250 for a top 20. But the thing that I'm playing, Tiger to make the cut at minus 115. So I looked and I'm like, wait a second, how many people make the cut? Top 65 in ties. So you're telling me I can get him make the cut at minus 115 or top 40 at minus 110? I'll just lay that extra 5 cents for that. So for me, I want to root for Tiger. I'm just going to go making the cut. What are your thoughts on Tiger this week?
So actually, the PGA Championship is an outlier. A normal event is T65 in ties. This is actually T70 in ties. So that actually helps your case even more, Rob. You have more outs here. So, yeah, this is really challenging. I think the Masters thing is unique, right? Tiger's track record there is impeccable. And that's an event where we had 89 guys, and you could literally cross off 20 because we had a bunch of, you know, old pros and we had a bunch of amateurs. So you really were like whittling it down to a field of maybe 65. This is more along the likes of an invitational where you don't have the full field 156 because you do get the PGA pros. You have the old champs. You got, you know, John Daly will be out there pounding Diet Cokes and cigs on the course. So like those guys aren't necessarily in contention. And yes, like Tiger did win this last time it played here, but this course is a complete different track than it was in 07. They came in and did a massive renovation in 2019, eliminating trees, opening the fairways, restoring lots of creeks. And the big thing, Rob, like you said, not a shocker. You got to be long and straight. You got to have it in the entire bag at a major. But they eliminated basically the entire collar of rough around the greens here. And they've created these short grass runoffs that have these crown greens that are going to have these false fronts. So you can hit an impeccable iron shot and still not hold the green because you're going to be hitting, you know, maybe a five or a six instead of an eight or a nine. So this around the green stuff is going to be really interesting. So as far as Tiger goes, I think he is in good shape. He looks like he's been, you know, hitting the gym a lot. He talked about he took one day off post-Masters. So like, even though we didn't see him at like TPC Craig Ranch, we didn't see him in Mexico, you know that his game is probably in good shape. I feel a little less confident than I did about him at the Masters just because of his history and knowledge of that track. This is a very different track. So I do think he makes the cut. I think we see weekend Tiger, but I don't know really the best way to bet him currently. So I kind of agree with you because we're going to have more guys make the cut than normal, probably push to get the plus number on the T40.
One great stat that I saw around strokes gained over your approach over the past 24 rounds, the leader at plus 27 strokes, our boy Will Zalatoris. So I will be having some Will Zalatoris on my card this weekend. Ryan, one of the things that I want to sort of double back around on how you and I built our cards, even on the podcast. I'm someone who stays away from the outright market. I like to play make miss cuts, matchups, and top 10s or top 20s. So I'll be getting some Will Zalatoris top 10 plus 350. I'll also look to see what the top 20 market looks like for him. But let's go to the top. And one thing I need to note, and Ryan, I mentioned this to you at the beginning, we're recording this on Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. And the odds for everything I'm about to say changed in 1 hour. So 1 hour ago, John Rahm was the favorite at plus 1,100, followed by Scottie Scheffler at plus 1,200. Justin Thomas also at plus 1,200. 1 hour later, I'm like, all right, I'll keep up the screen with the odds just for our podcast. I'm like, wait a second. Everything changed. Scottie Scheffler plus 1,200. Rory plus 1,200. Jordan Spieth plus 1,400. Rahm plus 1,400. And Justin Thomas plus 1,800. And this is all via DraftKings. Why am I saying this? Because if you like a player, it is in your best interest to probably capitalize relatively quickly, albeit some of those players like Justin Thomas, the odds are more favorable to us, but it's something that I do need to note to everyone because some of the lines that I'm going to give are going to change in a moment's notice.
Yeah, these are liquid markets that are, you know, once you get a little bit of content out there, people do their research. Monday, Tuesdays, we get the tee time waves, and there does look like there's a chance that the early Thursday wave is going to be in an advantage. So that could be part of it too, Rob, where we're seeing some of these guys get afternoon tee time waves, and the books are a little bit more comfortable bumping their number up. And then, you know, inverse, guys that are getting that early wave, you know, Rory is one of those guys that seems to be getting bet down in a number of spots. That's an advantage. So again, you'll want to track that. Again, that typically be, you know, tends to play itself out more in like DFS, where you need to be really cognizant of afternoon and morning weather waves. Wind is going to be an issue. I would say an issue, but it's going to be steady throughout the week. It just looks like there's going to be more wind on Thursday afternoon than there's going to be on Thursday morning. So I think that is probably part of it too. And again, just these books are starting to get an understanding of where they're leveraged and where they want to kind of, you know, mitigate risk, and they're starting to move some of these nines. So yeah, I think being active, don't wait and, you know, try to chase the best of the number, because those numbers could disappear pretty quickly.
So let's start at the top with Scottie Scheffler, our Masters champ, won four of his last eight events. And getting to 5 out of 10 wins is something that I think there's only three golfers ever, Tiger, Vijay Singh, and one other golfer to ever do that. So he is on a heater of all heaters, looking there plus 1,200 to win, plus 330 top five, plus 160 top 10. So what are your thoughts on let's keep this party going, sprinkling in top 10 just because of how well he's doing? What are your thoughts on Scottie Scheffler as the favorite?
Yeah, DraftKings is a generous plus 160 out there for a T10 for Scottie right now. He allegedly shot like a 64 here the other day in a pre-Craig Ranch practice round. Yeah, I mean, so like if strokes gained around the green is going to matter, he is fourth in this field over the last 50 rounds. Approach, we know will matter. He is eighth. Tee to green, he is second. There are no weaknesses in his game. We're on bent grass. It's one of his better putting surfaces. So again, you can tell yourself a story that he can't keep this up. I made the mistake of telling myself that story in the Masters, and you know, here we are not cashing any outright winners. So it is really tough for me to fire at him from an outright standpoint at that price, really to make it worthwhile based on how I kind of structure outrights. But would it surprise me for him to do it again? No, there are no weaknesses. Again, he, you know, played at Texas. He's a Big 12 guy. They know this course. It was a very common course for them to play. So he's played it pre and post reno. He knows it probably as good as anyone out here. So that's an advantage for him as well this week. So I get why someone would want to go to the top of the board. It's hard to argue with the form with how he's been playing.
So also the top of the board, we have John Rahm. And I saw a great stat that was on ESPN. John Rahm has finished in the top 10 in 41% of his major starts. When I saw that, I'm like, well, crap, John Rahm sitting here at plus 150 for a top 10. So seems like sign me up for some John Rahm too. What are your thoughts on John Rahm?
Rahm was a guy I thought coming into the week was going to be, I thought I might have a really small outright card, Rob. I thought maybe Rahm and then maybe another. And the more I dug into it, I'm a little concerned about Rahm. Again, around the green, we're expecting to matter because of these false fronts, because of the really tightly mowed grass, the, you know, lack of a rough collar. to really stop any runoffs. And these are going to be long approach shots because this course, as you mentioned, par 70, going to play almost 7,600 yards from the tips. That is a very, very difficult beast. And Rahm is 111th in this field in strokes gained around the green over the last 50 rounds. That's a fairly large sample of him being below field average. And the irons have not been great as of late either. It was obviously good to see him get a win in Mexico. But again, there's a little something here. I think a lot of the stuff with the putting early in the season, you know, that could be highly variant. But again, the irons haven't been, and it's all, we're all on a curve here, right? We're talking about John Rahm against John Rahm's baseline. We're not messing with John Rahm against a tour average player. He's not been himself as of late. So he is having him be above JT and in Scotty territory from an odd standpoint. I'd want to see him being a little bit better. And you have to tell yourself a story to either, you know, bet a guy or to find a reason to cross a guy off this week, Rob. And I think around the green, based off of what we've seen from these guys in practice rounds and what they're talking about, it's going to really matter. And Rahm just hasn't really shown up there yet so far in the last 50 rounds.
All right, so let's talk about guys we're going to cross off. And I think one player that we're not hearing anything about is Brooks Koepka. Missed the cut at the Masters, pulled out at last week's event. And to me, that seems like a fade. We're sitting here and his odds are ridiculous. Plus 4,500 outright, plus 800 top five, plus 400 top 10, plus 170 top 20. He is also plus 170 to miss the cut. And I think about the Masters when I faded Bryson for coming in with an injury. And Bryson's another one. We're not even sure if he's going to play, and I'm not even seeing much in the market for him, because immediately I'm like, I want to fade the matchups. I want to take the missed cut. Wasn't even available on the books. What are your thoughts on Brooks? Because when I heard sleeping and no one really talking about him, I'm like, huh, is there value on a player who can win any time? But at the same time, we know how important recent form is, and this just doesn't seem like the recipe for success right now with Brooks.
It's fair. I mean, if you look at his PGA track record, the last four, he's won two and came in second last year to Phil. I had a Brooks outright last year. We told ourselves a very similar story. I got a Brooks at 50 last year because we hadn't seen a lot leading up to it. But again, when you get into these PGA championship layouts, how they typically do it, long and straight, the ability to grind, and you know, these scores aren't going to be crazy low. I think Phil won last year at minus six. I think it probably is even closer to par this year. So I heard Brooks today talk about how there's no injury concern. He just didn't play particularly well at the Masters, did not play last week at TPC Craig Ranch just because he felt like getting into a spot where I need to get to like minus 25 to compete is probably not a great like pre-PGA championship prep for me. So I'm just going to take the week. I'll go there, play a couple practice rounds and get my body ready. He seems interested. He actually talked about, someone asked him about his betting odds being 40-1 and, you know, kind of being slept on. And I kind of liked that answer. I don't have Brooks on the card currently, but again, like, if it continues to fall down a little bit, he probably isn't an outright. My outright card is full, but I would find a good reason to get into that top 10 market. Like you mentioned, 4-1 on DraftKings, 4-1 on PointsBet. There's some others out there too. That's interesting to me for a guy that I know that can maybe just kind of grind out par, which I think is going to serve them well here this week. So he is getting a little bit more interesting to me. I'm not really worried about form. I'm not really thinking injury is a problem here.
So what I hear is that sometimes an outright plus 4,500 way more attractive than plus 800 for top five because of the disparity that we're seeing here. It's like, let's go all in or nothing with someone like him. Two of the players we're going to hear a lot about, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, they're pretty much the same version of the player. They're friends. They're the best golfers in the world. They're great at pretty much everything. And one of the challenges, of course, of picking outright winners is the number of amazing players we're talking about. We even talked about Rory yet and talking about Scheffler and JT and Spieth and John Rahm. What are your thoughts on Spieth or Justin Thomas, or how are you playing this mixture of good players? Because I feel like with such a top-heavy field, it can be very easy to lose. And I think back to the Kentucky Derby when we have this card of all of these different horses, then Rich Strike wins and everyone's like, what? And we're only one Rich Beam away from everyone sitting there with a bunch of JT and Justin Thomas. outright winners for them to finish top five and no one wins.
Yeah, we've seen it. We've seen this this tournament's historically been that place where you can get more of a grinder professional that could find his way into the circle on Sunday more so than another one. I don't think that this track is going to lead us to that. I do think we're going to get an upper echelon type of player holding the Wanamaker on Sunday. I did bet Justin Thomas to win this tournament. There was a very generous 19 floated on FanDuel earlier in the week. There, like you mentioned earlier, there is now an 18 on DraftKings, which I think is very viable. If you look over the last 50 rounds, there are two players that rank inside the top 10 in both strokes gained around the green, which we've already stated is going to be a factor this week, and strokes gained approach. As you mentioned, it's a second shot golf course, and that's Scottie Scheffler and Justin Thomas. Over the same time frame, Thomas leads the field in strokes gained tee to green, which is just literally everything except putting, basically gaining 2.3 strokes on the field per round. He is tremendous, and we've seen the putting get a little bit better as of late. He has tasted so much Sunday smoke this season, Rob, and has not got there yet, but it's not due to a lack of how his game is. It's just been maybe a bad round here, bad weather wave at the Players, which he played remarkably, late Sunday Chargers, and it almost got there even last week in a spot where he had traveled. He played here on Monday and went back and got it, back to Craig Ranch to play and almost won. So I love JT here. Part of it was the number. 14 is not as attractive to me, obviously, as a 19. This guy I really think should be closer to the Rahm and Scotty number. So I think he is very appealing. I think the speed stuff, it makes a lot of sense too. The number is not of interest to me. Again, the career Grand Slam and all the narratives. Love how his game is playing. A win at a place like RBC Heritage in Harbortown, not a spot that I would typically profile as a speed-like course. And the way he did it and got it done was really encouraging. So his game is firing on all cylinders. I do not besmirch anyone who wants to back Jordan this week. My lean is JT, but I think that they're both very viable at the top of the board.
Are there any matchups that you like? And I think the matchups market is fun, but also challenging because you sit there and it's like JT versus Jordan Spieth or John Rahm versus Scottie Scheffler. And you're like, I'm not exactly in love with any of this stuff. These are the best golfers ever. It's a coin flip. So I've traditionally found that when you drop a tier below the top guys, sometimes you can get a little bit more of a, hey, let me identify someone that I like. And maybe they're not going to get the outright, but it's someone who might exceed expectations. So let me start putting them in the matchups. Is there anyone that you can say, all right, I sort of like this because, Ryan, one of the things that I've done when I've had you on the podcast, I'll listen to who you like. So you're like, boom, I like JT in the outright. So I'm going to look at the JT markets and maybe I'll sprinkle one or two just to have fun with it. But I'm going to listen to some of the other players that you like to say, you know what? I'm going to sprinkle some of their matchups out there. Who should we be looking at?
Couple other guys at the top of the board that I really like. Patrick Cantlay, who struggled a little bit for a couple of months there. Genesis, Players, Match Play, Masters, didn't really put it together. Now we've seen him just absolutely dominant tee to green from the last two times out. Almost won at Harbortown, like you mentioned, solo second to Spieth there. Carry that over to the following week, and he and Xander dominated the Zurich team event. He has been tremendous with his irons as of late. And we've seen him on the greens historically, and this is bent grass greens, by far his best putting surface. He comes in over the past 50 rounds ranking inside the top 20 in every strokes gain metric and has a win and a solo second his last two times out. He is, I think, kind of a forgotten man because we just haven't seen great stuff from Cantlay outside of those last two, and he doesn't play frequently, as frequently as some of the other guys on tour. So I think Cantlay is a guy I'm going to be targeting. And Hideki Matsuyama, I think Hideki, based off of his current form, again, a final round 62 last week, kind of put to bed any concerns around injury. T3 last week, really nice showing at Augusta. We hadn't seen him and we were worried about an injury at a place that he played really well, and he got a T14 there. Again, we're going to be dealing with long approach shots, as you mentioned, 7,500 and plus yards from the tips. He is second. Hideki is second on tour in proximity on approaches over 200 yards. Also, again, short game, tremendous. We always think of Hideki, maybe you think his short game's not good. His putting is not great, though bent. his preferred putting surface, and he is tremendous around the green. So if we are going to get in this position where we're going to have false fronts and runoffs, Hideki's really, really good with those things around the green. So I love those two. And the two guys I'm kind of fading, if this helps you as well, because of their lack of around the green, it's bite me in the butt because I love both these two guys, Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland. They are both really poor around the green. Victor in particular, they're not getting it done. And that's going to be something, again, we have to tell ourselves stories why to not go to guys this week. And that around the green game is going to be really problematic, I think, especially for Victor. I think 141st in this field over the last 50 rounds in strokes gained around the green. So Colin also, I think, 111th. So those are problems. Those are guys I'm going to look to attack in the matchup market. And maybe I can get some Decky or Cantley against them.
Absolutely love that insight. So Ryan, quick recap on my end. I'm going to have Tiger -115 to make the cut. I'm going to have some Will Zalatoris +350 top 10. I'm going to sprinkle a Scotty Scheffler top 10 +160 to keep the party going. And by design, I'm always going to take some Tony Finau. Give me Tony Finau +275 to get a top 20. I'm also going to look at what you said, and I'm going to play the matchups market. I would also recommend staying tuned to my Twitter at Rob Cressy. I will drop my card as I make my bets. Ryan, any final thoughts or picks you want to drop?
Cam Young, he was 496th on the world golf rankings this time last year. Now I am betting him outright at 100 or at 80-1. There are some hundreds out there. I think you can get like a +150 on a T30. Look at what he's done as of late. He's coming in back-to-back T3, T2 at Wells Fargo. Look at his top 20 finishes, Genesis, Farmers, Honda, API. Those are big boy courses, big boy fields. He hits it a mile. He is tremendous. He is third in this field in the last 36 rounds around the green. Bent is his best putting surface. He is a tremendous look this week. Absolutely love him. There's a sneaky stat. Average distance to the hole after tee shot. It's kind of like a distance and proximity kind of thing going on, not just pure driving distance. He leads the entire tour. So he hits it a mile, fairly accurate off the tee. Love Cam Young this week. We need to look for finishing position bets and any matchups against him as well.
Ryan, you are a wealth of information, and I absolutely love it. Where can everybody connect with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Ryan Noonan, betspurtsgolf.com. You can find betting shows, DFS shows. There's some free content there as well. If you're a football bettor, Move the Line podcast every Wednesday nights. We're doing that all throughout the football season, or off season. So we're not just in season. Move the Line is a football show for you all year round, with my partners, John Daigle and Connor Allen. So we'll be doing that tomorrow night as well, even though basketball's on the mind, PGA's on the mind as well. There's always time for football betting, Rob. I know you know that.
And I want to hear from you. I want you to give me one top 10 bet that is on your card. You can hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The Funkadelic Devil hits you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pumps, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.